Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by Audible.
Oh, intriguing.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comic and TV show. My name is James. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm here to provide first aid for when James has a stroke, which is happening right now.
That was me putting the right emphasis on the right words at the right time.
Was it?
So I understand some of it.
Yeah. Hearing loss is very common when you're having a stroke.
Oh, wait, I haven't got my headphones plugged in. That's bloody why, mate.
And you're having a stroke.
I don't want to be having a stroke.
That's first sign of having a stroke denial.
I've been stroke-free since 93. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the Weekly Planet. This one's recorded a bit early.
Way early.
I'm away for the weekend. Well, yeah. I was away. I'm back by now by the time this comes out.
I mean, we assume that's the case.
That's right.
You're going to the Gold Coast. You might have been glassed by now.
I probably have been glassed, to be honest. I think I've told this before, but every time I go to the Gold Coast, I see the most insane thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, oh, shit.
What happened last time?
That's a very good question. Mm. One time, though, I think I've said this before, a guy I was with in a group of people, I saw him just talking to a man in the street, and then he flicked his cigarette into the guy. And then it bounced off the guy, and then he picked it up and he put it out on his face. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's a pretty good one.
I mean, that's probably not the most insane thing I've ever seen. But yeah. I remember thinking, it's weird that guy's just standing there.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But I think he's probably been like, this definitely isn't happening. Oh, wait, it is, though.
It's definitely right. Happening.
Yeah.
Bad news up top. Rutger Hauer has died.
Oh, the Gold Coast thing isn't bad news already?
No, this is worse news somehow.
Right. Okay.
Age 75.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which is not super old.
No.
Of a short illness. It's not sure what that is at this point. But yeah, people would know him, obviously, more recently from movies like Batman Begins and Sin City, Hobo with a Shotgun, Valerian.
Oh, City of a Thousand Planets.
Which I actually really like.
Oh, there you go. I still haven't seen it. Yeah. I'll get to it one day.
But obviously, Roy
Batty and Blade Runner. Sure. He was in Lady Hawk.
Oh.
And he was also a personal favorite of mine, Blind Fury, where he's a blind ninja.
Oh, that Daredevil-esque situation. Yeah. I've never seen it. Is it
it's
good?
Well, I don't know if it still holds up, but it was good at the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's cutting people in half. Don't worry about it.
Apparently very nice man.
That's what they say.
Our friend Hollywood Pete works with a person who met him.
Yep.
They were out for lunch. Oh, he was there as well. And the guy was like, I just want to ask you Blade Runner questions. And
he's going to say
he's
that.
Like, yeah. Fuck yeah, I'll talk about Blade Runner all day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So super cool.
And that's probably one of the most iconic
sci-fi moments, characters.
Yeah, characters, monologues of all time, probably.
Because he had a hand in writing that as well, didn't he? Yeah, okay. I believe so. Wow. Yeah. We've done a Blade Runner episode. Steel Saunders was on.
That's right.
We all had a good time.
Mm.
So yeah, look, it's a big loss, you know? Yeah. It's he's done some really good stuff. By all accounts, a very nice man. These things happen, you know? And yet, while we're losing one Rutger Hauer, we are gaining a Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Do you think the spirit of Rutger Hauer has entered the body of young Will Smith?
I hope so. It feels that way.
Yeah. Old Will Smith doesn't look that much older than young Will Smith.
No. Well, here's the thing. I was going to tell you this before the show, but I'm going to surprise you with this right now.
Here we go. Is Will Smith here? Which one? Young Will Smith or old Will Smith? Are we going to do a rap together?
The young Will Smith in that movie is entirely digital. It's like a motion capture, performance capture thing. Old Will Smith, 50-year-old Will Smith, is doing with the...
Simultaneously with old Will Smith.
I guess he is, yeah. So that's how that's actually coming together. So that's a CGI character. But you're right, they don't look that different.
Okay, so when you say CGI character, do you mean...
It's a digital human.
So, okay, but what I'm saying is, did old Will Smith come on set and act as young Will Smith, yes, and then they paint it over the
with
top?
With the mocap face.
And right.
There's a featurette that was released before the trailer.
And he went on set for that, so he didn't do that in like a room, and then it was built in real time.
I mean, maybe sometimes they do pickups with like, do more crying, young Will Smith. He's doing a lot of crying, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like a lot of red eyes, like, who am I?
But
Clive
I think
Owen.
You can do
Clive
that.
Clive Owen, who am I?
You can do that digitally now anyway.
Clive
so.
Owen.
Oh, yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah. You're my son and I love you.
But really, you're not, because you're Will Smith.
Yeah.
Surely you'd be like,
we don't look anything alike.
Maybe I should trust the guy who looks exactly like me.
Why did you have a British accent, Dad? And I don't. What's going on there?
What do you think about this? Do you think it's going to be good?
The action looks good in this. Yeah. I was very skeptical. Again,
it's Ang Lee, who I mostly like. Yeah.
Sure, right? Mm. Yeah.
You just think the Hulk, though, but he's done a lot of things.
I know, he's done Brokeback Mountain, obviously, and other things.
Which is really good.
But the badness of Hulk really overwhelms everything else for me.
Wow,
but Gemini Man looks, it's looking pretty good. I didn't think it would work on any level, but we're getting some sweet motorcycle action. It looks like there looks to be a chase sequence where it looks like Will Smith has taken some heavy hits, and it looks real and looks solid. So
it does, absolutely. Mm. I think also I think we mentioned this last time there was a trailer,
mm-hmm,
and you were saying like he doesn't look that different, like he's not that much younger.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do like a Harrison Ford, maybe you do a Bruce Willis, a better obviously
someone who cares about cinema.
Yeah.
You think you can get Bruce Willis to sit around and put on the mocap suit?
Absolutely not. He'd do it as a joke, as maybe a bit part in an Ocean sequel.
That's probably true, yeah. Mm.
And that's how you get him to do it.
That's
right. You tell him it's an Ocean sequel. You tell him he's a bit part, but then you just trap him in a warehouse
for weeks.
For 40 days. And you make him do it.
Yeah, right? Mm. Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So do you think maybe they should have gone an older action hero, is what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're Schwarzenegger or
but then
you're
getting,
like,
you're getting a Will Smith.
But I guess they've also...
He's a good actor, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean?
They've also done, I feel like, the novelty... Somebody like Schwarzenegger, the novelty has worn off, because we've even seen him do old T-800, young T-800 in Terminator Genesis. So
you do a Van Damme.
You do a
Lundgren.
Lundgren could work.
You do a Stallone.
Yeah.
And we should talk about that because Sylvester Stallone has said, oh, by the way...
Expendables 4?
Oh, God, I hope not. Oh, they're bad. They're bad movies.
Oh, yeah. Now, we don't know that for sure. All we know is we saw Expendables 3 and everybody told us it was the best of the series and it's bad.
I've seen some of 1, but I fell asleep.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and I did not enjoy that either. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a... Oh, but yeah, if we've missed some news, it's because we recorded this way early.
Yep.
But just messages to tell us. Regardless.
Or we didn't think whatever news you thought was relevant was relevant.
That's probably more likely, mm-hmm, actually, yeah. Yeah. He's talking about a Rocky prequel TV show,
mm-hmm,
which is not super interesting to me because, I mean, what are we...
It's called Rocky Before He Knew How to Box.
He could box a little bit, but he was mostly breaking thumbs.
Yeah.
And maybe delivering crates of fruit. I don't know what Rocky did before he was Rocky. Yeah. Mm. You'd have to recast it, obviously, for a TV series.
And it'll explain, obviously, in the tradition of sequels, how he got his grandma glasses.
Yeah,
you know,
all those things. Love that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that only a thing for Rocky Balboa, though? Was that, or did he have his grandma glasses in the original?
I think he had his grandma glasses in Rocky 1. Okay.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. And the other one is a sequel movie, and Stallone's talked about this. It's Rocky meets a young, angry person who got stuck in this country when he comes over to see his sister. He takes him into his life and unbelievable adventures begin, and they wind up south of the border. It's very, very timely.
Does it have anything to do with boxing?
No.
Huh.
It's just a road trip to the south of the border. Tijuana, baby!
Oh, sounds good.
Margaritas
I like
and
it.
Such.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess the Creed story's done, isn't it? I guess.
Depends. What happened at the end of Creed 2?
Creed 1 back being he was the best Creed.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Creed by name, Creed by nature.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Creed the band. And then Rocky got to go.
Creedence, Clearwater Revival.
Yes. Rocky got to go.
Creed 2, Cruise Control.
Rocky got to go see his son.
Oh, yeah,
which
that's
was really
right.
Nice.
Milo Ventimiglia.
Yes, I'm a bit kind of like.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I want this to happen necessarily, but you know what? The last three have been... Well, they're mostly good, aren't they?
Yeah, they are mostly good.
Yeah.
But it does sound like this one, he just wants to... It sounds like he just wants to do like a kind of fun comedy drama about two unlikely friends that go on an adventure.
Sure.
But then they wouldn't give any money for it, so he just went, it's a Rocky sequel? And they went, okay,
yeah,
all
excellent.
Right. Mm, we'll take that.
He should have done Gemini Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they already de-aged him in the one where he fought... what's his name? De Niro?
did they?
It's like a weird Rocky parody, Raging Bull.
Don't remember that.
Yeah, no. It's got Alan Arkin in it.
How old is this?
Like 4 years old, maybe.
Is it really?
Maybe 6 years old.
Good Lord.
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, you ever think about that weird...
I think about a lot of things.
Yeah,
Ask me what it is, what you're saying.
I'm going to say, do you ever think about that? There's that weird kind of undercurrent of, like, former A-list stars that are just doing weird direct-to-video stuff for, like...
I never think about that.
Righteous Kill.
I said I think
Pacino
about
Pacino and
stuff.
De Niro.
I don't think about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, nobody does. What's happening
no,
there?
No, I do, actually, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it's like all the Bruce Willis... sequels, the Travolta stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a different wig and a different goatee or a different bandana.
He's being a different mob boss every
exactly.
movie. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess it's just there's money in it, isn't there?
I guess.
And
you know,
work in it.
If you follow the Bruce Willis system, which is anytime they're not looking directly at your face, it's a stand-in.
Yes.
Then I guess you can do a movie in a day.
Yeah.
If you're of that level,
I guess.
You
definitely can, yeah. I guess it's not a money thing, is it? I guess it's... What
maybe
is
for
it?
Some people it is
maybe
a money
that's
thing.
That's the thing. Like I'd imagine for like a Nicolas Cage, but he's always kind of done anything.
Yes.
But he also still has kind of hits. Like Travolta isn't knocking things out of the park anymore, is he?
Yeah, right.
He needs another Tarantino, but he's had enough.
Look, maybe it's
had
one
enough
of those,
Travolta.
Look,
exactly. Enough chances.
Maybe it's that thing of kind of like, well, you go, okay, to maintain my Hollywood lifestyle, I need $1 million a month.
Oh, because he's got planes and
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Just on jet fuel alone, I reckon.
Yeah.
So it's probably like, okay, well, I need
just
a,
don't go anywhere.
Yeah, it's probably like
you
I
don't need your jet.
And everybody leases everything as well in Hollywood. Nobody owns anything.
Get one
so
of those
just...
virtual bloody cockpit things that people have.
Exactly. Sell your 747.
They've
get a copy of Microsoft Flight Simulator.
They've got those
on Windows XP.
Exactly. They've got them at shopping centers.
Yeah, right.
You just get in and fly a plane.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what that is.
I don't know either. It's wild, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you think it's also they don't understand necessarily the landscape of media nowadays? And this is the work that's getting thrown their way?
Yeah, maybe. That's probably true.
But then again, Pacino, De Niro are doing that mobster film with Scorsese for Netflix. Joe Pesci's in it as well. It's coming out this year. It's called The Irishman, I want to say. Huh. And they're all DAs.
None of them are The Irishman at all, though.
One of them is The Irishman.
Is it De Niro?
It could be De Niro.
It's probably
the most Irish of those three.
Well, because he did Ronin, which was set in France. So that's as close as any of them's gotten to Europe.
True.
So.
And he had that big green hat with a belt buckle on it, didn't he?
True, yeah, he did. Yeah, and he took all me Lucky Charms.
All of your Lucky Charms?
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
He really got into character.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's just very Irish in real life.
That's probably it, yeah.
Yeah, but they're de-aging them for a lot of that movie.
Wow.
And no one's seen any of it. The only thing is, there's a picture on set of De Niro.
Not even the director, he can't bear to look at it. He's like, oh, this is going to be bad.
Look,
I don't want to look.
Look this up. Look up De Niro.
Yes.
People need to see this. Look up De Niro on set.
And am I going to describe this too?
Absolutely you are. Okay. Because I feel like you've got the knowledge of fashion.
Okay. All right. I can't wait for whatever this is. Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they're in their trench coats.
Look at his big shoes.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I was going to say, like, they look like this one here specifically. They look like Hot Toys versions of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, those realistic, like, you get a Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man or whatever. And
because the suit, like, the cloth is too thick
on
them or
something.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
So, what is it? Do you want to explain what this is?
It's Robert De Niro standing next to
Al Pacino.
And
they got young man hair.
They're wearing, like, sort of 1960s style overcoats. De Niro is wearing. Platform, like he's wearing
maybe 4 inches on that,
at least 4 inch like platform soles, and it's not like their heels or they're like hidden in the boots or
whatever.
They're clearly like they're not going to look at, we're not going to pan to his feet, so it's just like a 4 inches of just like rubber on the shoe. Anyway, that's great stuff. I appreciate you've
people have like taken that photo of him with his big hair and his heels, and you know when Bart Simpson tries to get the role for Radioactive Man,
and
he comes out with the tall hair and the and the big shoes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's The Irishman.
Huh.
Mm.
Good stuff. I'm so excited for that.
I mean, it's Scorsese, and he always gives it a bloody red hot go. He's still doing some good stuff.
It's good stuff.
I thought you'd enjoy that.
Yeah, it's really good.
So. Got some Marvel news. The What If series, the animated one. Apparently, it's only going to focus on the first 23 movies. Only the first 23.
Oh, the first 23.
So the Infinity Saga, basically.
Okay.
And it's got to be What If stories that twist off that. So it's not necessarily going to be the stories from the comics, the What If, which we discussed last week.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, what do you think of that? Does that limit the...
Not really. I mean, did we think the What Ifs were going to cover all the... movies immediately before.
Well, there's stuff in the logo that's like, it looks like they're doing zombies and stuff, but you can still spin off one of those into zombies.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
you can do, yeah.
Doctor Strange gets trapped in a weird zombie dimension or whatever. Yeah. There you go.
Cool.
Anything in particular you want to see? What if Red Skull didn't grab the cube with his bare hand?
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't he
probably
did he do
still
that?
Be hanging out?
Why did he do that?
That's a really good question, isn't it?
Why'd he be doing that?
It was pointed out, I think it might have been pointed out on the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group, that if Odin didn't leave the Tesseract on Earth, nothing, like the
nothing
entire...
Nothing ever would have happened.
Nothing ever would have happened in the Marvel Universe.
Just give it to, yeah, just give it to just a just some nobody person.
Yeah, in space.
No, I just meant like on Earth. He'd be like, yeah, this guy on Earth. This guy in this village.
Yeah, that's true. Because
hey, can you put it in a wall or a drawer? Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Definitely
do. But don't tell anyone. Okay. Yep. He clearly told somebody, didn't
he? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, but there'd be no Hydra. There'd be no S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
There'd probably be no Iron Man.
No
there'd
Captain
be no,
Marvel.
No Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There you go. Well, that's a good thing they did then.
No Hulk.
No Hulk, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow.
What just Hawkeye and Black Widow, probably.
So did Hulk get his radioactive stuff from the Tesseract? Because that's it says it does gamma stuff, right? Here we go. What do you got?
Well, I was going to say, no, I think the current continuity for the movies is Bruce Banner attempted to replicate the Super Soldier Serum gamma radiation, and then he became the Hulk.
Is that made clear?
Also, it's Tesseract.
Yeah, I know.
Why do you take the T off?
Why wouldn't I? You
it's
don't
insane.
Like it?
It's insane.
I'm the sanest man here. What do you think of that?
That might be true.
So,
it doesn't save any time.
No, it doesn't. It's just the way I say it.
Huh.
And maybe I'll change, but maybe I won't. Maybe I'm locked into it forever, you know?
Yeah. Maybe me suggesting you change has caused you to dig your heels in and you'll never change.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
So there you go. So it's going to add one twist, like adding just one twist to the saga and just seeing how differently things
that sounds good.
So
that sounds like fun.
We talked about this in our live show we did last week. By the way, if you want to donate...
Oh, yes.
Do it.
We'd really appreciate it.
The Planet Broadcasting thing, as of now, it's like 14,500.
Something
it'd
like
be,
that, yeah.
Even more by next week.
Mm-hmm.
The live show we did for the charity campaign.
I mean, we might have to take some of the money out because you've been glassed.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll need that for hospital
just
care and such.
Back together.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think I said that... then we talked about Mad Max, and I think I said they're never going to make another one of these. But George Miller says...
Oh!
...that the chaos between, you know, because there was this whole rights thing and suing and people weren't getting paid, specifically him. The chaos has stabilised and it's become extremely positive as the dust seems to have settled after the AT&T merger. So maybe we will be getting the two Mad Max sequels plus the Furiosa spin-off. Although I was actually watching Mad Max just before you came around Fury Road. That is... It's so good.
It really is,
I forget how good it is. It's the best action film of 2015, at least.
Mm.
Better than The Force Awakens, Mason?
Yes.
Better than another film that came out that year?
Yeah.
Age of Ultron, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go.
No fooling.
I mean, George Miller is like 74. He'd have to go back out in the desert and live there for 4 years or whatever he did the last time he did it. But you know what? I want to see it. So
he's a doctor. He'll bring his own antihistamines.
He knows what he's doing. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited for Tarantino's new movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? A
little bit. When's that coming out? Pretty soon, August?
Pretty soon, a couple of weeks. Next week is Hobbs and Shaw as well, I believe.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Excited for Hobbs and Shaw?
Yes. I mean, we know what's going to happen.
Hobbs and Shaw?
Yeah. But I mean, the most recent trailer did.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, meets his family, and then they're gonna beat him up on an island. That's what's going to happen. It should be called Idris Elba Gets Beaten Up on an Island.
And then in the next movie, Idris Elba becomes a good guy.
That's right. And we find another person to be the villain.
Yeah.
And then they get beaten up, and then their brother or sister shows up, and then they get beaten up. Then we pick one of those, and they become a good guy, and then we find another bad guy.
And as always, it remains to be all about family.
Absolutely.
Fast 9 started as well. You saw that?
No.
Yeah. Vin Diesel's looking good. He's bloody ripped, mate. He must have been doing all sorts of dietary situations.
Getting hard-boiled.
And weightlifting and things.
Yeah.
You know what people do for exercise and fitness?
I'm aware of the concept of it, yeah.
Sure. Okay, good. Yeah. You get it.
Yeah, sort of.
Anyway.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother. Or sales. I definitely prefer. Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Hey, Tarantino, though, he said that he spoke to Uma Thurman about Kill Bill Volume 3.
Oh, yes.
Because if you remember around the time that those movies came out, by the way, he recently came out and said, Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, they're actually one movie. Well, why did we pay twice? I paid twice for that movie, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's right. And we got a double because remember when...
We did get a double.
Yeah, but in America, I was going to say in America... The Grindhouse team up movie, him and Robert Rodriguez was one movie. In Australia, they split it up into two,
and it's still bombed.
So we've done the double twice. Thanks for nothing, Quentin Tarantino.
We went out of our way to not see that. I remember at the time,
yes,
being like that's outrageous,
mm-hmm.
And it was. Also, those aren't very good.
No, they're not. Absolutely not.
So there you bloody go. But anyway, so if you recall from Kill Bill Volume 1, I think. She kills one of the people who revenged her. Who is it? And her daughter.
Oh, Renishi?
Maybe. And okay. Her daughter's like, remember she does it in the kitchen through the cereal box.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, in 20 years or whatever, why don't you got a problem with me because I shot your mother. Why don't you bloody come see me or whatever?
Oh, yes.
And we're coming up on that.
Are we really?
Yeah. Well, that was 2003, I want to say.
Oh, my God.
So there you go.
We're so young.
Is that, yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or another age.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah,
okay.
I don't know whether that's going to happen. I hope it does, because it's kind of been a thing that they've been talking about for years. Uma Thurman seems like she could definitely still do it.
Is Uma Thurman and Quentin Tarantino still, are they still working together?
After the whole incident? Accident.
With the accident with the car murder? Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Car murder?
Accident.
Yeah.
Accident.
Was somebody killed?
No.
It's when Uma Thurman was in the car and there's footage of it and she had like a
nearly
died.
Yeah.
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 I guess they're still talking at least.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm.
All right.
So there you go.
Just, just felt like suspicious circumstances.
No, yeah, it did. Mm. Very much so.
Yeah.
Here's something that's not suspicious, Mason.
Okay, good segue.
Yes.
Yes.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is going to be developed as a TV series for Hulu.
Oh.
They recently did Good Omens.
That's true.
And The Tick. And I feel like those... No, Tick's on Amazon. But either way, Good Omens is kind of a Hitchhiker's... It's got that kind of feel.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
So I could definitely... I feel like this is a good home for it. And yeah. I think you could do a kind of, not a definitive version, but a long form version, yeah. which could do it justice.
What did you think of the movie?
It's fine.
I also think it's fine. Yeah. I quite like that one. It's been okay. a long time since I've seen it. But
I prefer the book because I'm a man who reads books. Yes. You read books?
I have The Hitchhiker's five volume in the boot of my car right now.
Have you read them all?
Yes.
Wow. I think I read one and two, maybe.
No. I'd recommend you read them all.
Well, give me a copy.
All right, I'll give it to you.
I don't want it. I don't want a real book. I'm digital or nothing.
As is tradition, I guess. Yeah, for
or
sure.
Or I can just watch the movie again.
That's true, yeah.
Do all five books?
Or you could watch the British TV version that one, from the 80s or whatever it was.
Do you reckon that's good?
Yeah, let's say it is.
Should we?
Let's not yet.
Should we say that?
Yeah.
That's pretty,
I bet it's got a certain Red Dwarf charm about it.
I bet it does.
I feel I've seen some of it.
They don't talk about it, though, do they?
No, that's true. Yeah.
So yeah, this is Carlton Coos is behind it. He did Lost Jack Ryan, and so did Jason Fuchs, who worked on Wonder Woman and also Pan.
Oh, hey, speaking of Wonder Woman,
yeah,
did you? I think we talked about last week. Mm. The CW is gearing up for this Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yes.
So Brandon Routh is going to be the Kingdom Come Superman. Yes. So the Richard Donner Superman, but it's Kingdom Come.
Great Temples.
I think so. Mm. He's going to have the Kingdom Come logo, which is going to be pretty good. Also, I'm pretty sure locked in that Tom Welling's coming back.
Really?
Smallville. This is what I've heard.
Okay. I thought that was a rumor. Was
but also,
rumor at this point?
How about this?
Yeah.
Also, Burt Ward's coming back.
As the 60s
Robin.
Wow, that's incredible.
And Linda Carter's coming back.
Wow.
This is what I've heard.
Really?
Yeah. Which is, because she's the president of the United States in the Supergirl series.
Yes.
But so she's also going to be Wonder Woman.
But from another dimension, I assume. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, right.
And Dean Cain.
No, it's not no.
But you could get him.
I know. Why would you, though?
But you could, Mason.
I guess you could.
You could get the guy, the kid from Superboy. Well, there was two actors, I think, who played Superboy in that Superboy TV series.
Oh, yeah,
from the
yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You could get Jerry O'Connell from My Secret Identity.
Yep.
Superman-esque.
Yeah. You could get Alex Mack.
Yeah.
The Secret Life of Alex Mack.
Definitely.
Yeah. You could get Beans Baxter.
Animorphs, I guess.
You could get Aggro from Aggro's Cartoon Connection.
Get the host of Cheese TV, yeah.
You get Marty Monster.
You get Gibbo.
You get Gibbo.
I love a local reference, Mason. Yep. There you go. Okay.
You get Mr. Squiggle, the man on the moon.
Yes.
Or from the moon, or wherever he is.
I think he's from the moon.
From the moon, yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Squiggle.
You get that nightmare woman from Molly Grubbs. You know the one? She's just got facial features, but there's no head.
What did they... Like, they must have blued her face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No good.
Yeah.
People know Molly Grubbs, right? Google it, everyone.
Yeah.
Google it.
Yeah,
it'll be the worst thing you'll see today. Next bit of news. Bit of news.
All right, I'm ready.
Spawn update.
Oh, okay.
This is what Todd McFarlane said, who was writing and directing the Spawn movie.
Okay. I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't written anything in years. I just do hot toys now. Yeah, it's just statuettes.
The money's sitting on the sidelines ready to go. I just need to get everyone that wants in to put money to shake their heads on the same script. As you can imagine, everyone has a slightly different version of it in their head. You go and try to appease a handful of people while not giving in to what it is I'm trying to do myself, because if I have to change it too much, I'll just walk away from it all. So basically, it's not happening right now.
Right,
there's a bit of a delay on it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I know, and every time we do this, we've looked up what he's directed, and it turns out he did a Korn film clip and
whatever. Right, yeah.
We won't go down that road again. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I am curious, because I don't think we've ever had a writer, creator... artist then direct a property of the film adaptation, I believe.
Frank Miller?
They didn't create the spirit.
Okay. Did he not direct Sin City 2?
Not really, because if you look at the spirits, no.
Yeah. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess that's the closest, I would say.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this might be it.
I mean, yeah, I don't know whether that's good or bad.
Unless everybody is holding off on giving the money and the script and whatever because they're like, we don't want you to direct this.
I don't see how this could make money, though.
I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of closet Spawn fans out there who are
I know
like...
there's a lot of... But enough? Like, it would have to... surpass that. It would have to be. It'd have to break outside of that.
I don't know if you know this, but superheroes are so hot right now.
Yeah, but would you look at him and go, "That's a marketable and like
he's so metal. He's got chains and
literally,
capes.
Yeah, I know that.
You know,
one cape.
Yeah,
I mean, it can do many.
But
things.
What a cape!
Yeah, what a cape. It's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah." I don't know. I'm not saying. I mean, I was wrong about Deadpool. I thought when Fox were doing Deadpool, I'm like, they're definitely going to fuck this up.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. Yeah. So the guy who created it is probably, you know, that's as good as any, I guess.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody could then go be like, well, this isn't true to the spirit of the original Spawn. You'd be like, well, the guy created it, so.
Yeah.
Quit your whining.
Quit your whining.
Yeah.
Start your dining. Enjoy a delicious meal. You'll feel better. Right?
Yeah, it's a Spawn-themed restaurant is what it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
We're in an ad.
Ah.
You know, you ever do that? You turn around, you're in an ad?
All the time. At least once a week. Sometimes more than once a week.
Sure, that happens.
Yeah, sometimes I'm just at the supermarket in the dairy cabinet. All of a sudden I'm in the bloody ad cabinet. You know?
Now, Audible members, they know what it's about, Mason, because they get more than ever before. Members can choose 3 titles every month. That's 1 audiobook plus 2 Audible originals that you can't hear anywhere else.
Very nice.
They're doing original content.
Yeah, I know, right?
Audible members also have unlimited access to exclusive audio-guided fitness and meditation programs. If that's your deal.
It isn't, but I'm glad it's for somebody else.
Yeah, a lot of people, like me, Mason, people who try to improve themselves on a physical and spiritual level... I'm all about that.
Yuck. But good for you.
Audible delivers bestsellers, business, self-improvement, memoirs, and more, all professionally narrated by authors, actors, and motivational superstars like Rachel Hollis, David Goggins, and Mel Robbins. With the convenient app, members can access Audible anytime at the gym while commuting on the go on any device. It'll always pick up right where you left off.
In the dairy cabinet at the supermarket.
It's like, yeah, that's right. If you've seen an old friend and you haven't seen him in a while and you see him again, it's not like where you're like, I don't even, why are we even... We shouldn't catch up.
But instead, you just put your earphones in and you just start up an Audible original.
Exactly.
And you don't have to talk to them.
Right where you left off.
That's right.
Yeah. This particular episode is actually brought to you by the new Audible original, Stanley's Alliances, A Trick of the Light.
That's very intriguing. What is that?
Good question.
It is a good question, isn't it? And it'll lead into you providing the answer, one would assume.
In one of Lee's final and innovative works, the legend invites audiences to unleash the power of their own imagination to bring a new universe and cast of superheroes to life. Performed by Yara Shahidi, one of today's brightest talents, and featuring a captivating introduction from Lee himself, this new superhero's origin story takes on the ever-blurring line between humanity and technology, whilst agitating the central question of the day: what is more real, a world we're born into or one we create ourselves?
Oh, so intriguing. We were just talking about superhero novels the other day. That's intrigued to get into this. Give this one a whirl.
Both epic and intimate, fascinating and funny. This is essential Stan Lee. Listen free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audible.com/planet or text planet to 500-500. That's Stan Lee's Alliances, A Trick of the Light. The power to change changes everything.
Oh. Good tagline. I like it.
I agree. That's audible.com/planet or text planet to 500-500. On with the show?
Yes, please.
Hey, we're back because...
Necroplasm waffles.
That's not going to make sense because there was an ad between things that
people
you said.
People will remember.
They definitely won't.
No, they'll know. Spawn-themed restaurant. Everything's made of necroplasm.
Very good. We are going to talk about The Lion King. We didn't do it last week because of San Diego Comic-Con, but I just want to quickly say, if you want my thoughts on The Lion King, but like... less late at night and more in depth. I did Primates last week with Matt Stewart, Evan Munro Smith, who's the second banana of that show, and Claire Tonti, my wife from the Suggestible podcast and other various podcasts and Planet Net Broadcasting Network things. So we talked about The Lion King for a very, very long time. And if you want to hear a man, specifically Evan, go off chops about The Lion King, then that's the place that you want to go.
Because he loves The Lion King?
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
But I'll link it below, and it's a great and funny show, and you should, and it was a lot of fun, and you should check it out. And we recorded in this very room, Mason.
Oh, that's why there's so many microphones.
That's right.
Wow.
You're a real Sherlock Holmes.
Let's get rid of some of these microphones.
No. So The Lion King, as of about now when we're recording this, it's made like $600 million worldwide. It'll be more by the time this goes out. It had a $260 million budget, which means it's made its money back if you count marketing and et cetera and so forth. What do you think the story was?
It's The Lion King. Have you seen The Lion King?
Yeah.
It's The Lion King. Everybody's seen it. I've seen The Lion King.
You hadn't seen it, but now even you have seen it.
Now even I've seen The Lion King, so everyone's seen The Lion King. This is exactly the same as The Lion King. The previous one, nobody can make an expression?
Yeah, I was looking for better or worse, but that'll
do. Oh, it's about the same. It's better in some small aspects, and it's worse in other aspects.
Sure.
So again, It is literally the same.
I thought of the perfect metaphor for this.
Yes.
And here's something for free that I didn't say.
Oh, here we go. Mates. Here we go.
This movie is the
some original content for our podcast.
Get ready.
I'm excited, yes.
This movie is the equivalent if you saw the Beatles perform in the 60s.
Yes.
And then in the year 2019, you went to one of those Live Aid charity benefit concerts and 75-year-old Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr got up and just did a couple songs that they used to play with some fill-in members. That's what this feels like.
I don't think it is even
because
that.
Because it there's echoes of it and you remember it. And you're like, I like this.
I think this
movie... like the things
this,
that I'd
I think
recognize.
This movie is more like if you watched the Beatles in the 60s and you really enjoyed it and then...
You went to hell?
Yeah, and then you went to hell. But then a Beatles tribute act cropped up in like the 60s after the Beatles... in the, like, maybe like the 70s after the Beatles stopped touring, right? And then... like last year, you saw that Beatles tribute act.
Oh, wow.
That's what this movie is.
Wow.
Yeah.
A scathing endorsement.
That's quite a scathing endorsement. Yeah.
I'm with you, though, because there's some stuff in here that I do like.
Uh-huh.
For one, it looks... I've never seen anything that looks like this.
Yeah. So this is no this isn't a combination of... There's nothing real about this movie, right?
Apparently there's like one shot that is, and I have no idea what it is.
Yeah. Oh, if I can provide a mini, we'll get to that. Can I provide a mini review? I just thought of this.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my mini review is I got up quite early this morning to see the first session of this at the movies. Then I went straight to work from that. And about half an hour in to work, I'm like, I'm a little bit tired and I'm not really sure why. Why is that? And I went through the checklist. I'm like, did I go to bed at a reasonable hour? Yes, I did. Did I have some water? Yes, I did. I got some caffeine. I've had a little something to eat. Yes, I did. And I just went through my brain like 2 minutes. And then eventually I figured it out. It's because I'd just gotten up early and watched a movie, which I'd forgotten. Like the movie just washed over me and then I forgot it existed.
Immediately.
Like it's just, it was like watching an ad you've seen too many times. I just didn't take it in.
Yeah, right.
That's what this movie felt like to me.
Wow.
But you were saying, it looks great.
It really
There's
does.
There's no denying that. There's no denying.
So photorealistic animals and settings.
Yeah.
The rocks, the grass.
If you showed me footage of this outside of context and like you took the soundtrack away, had I not known, you could probably convince me and others that this is just footage of like a documentary.
If this came out 20 years ago, or if you took it to somebody from 20 years ago, you just assumed that they trained animals to do this.
Yeah, right.
Because it looks that good.
The issue there, though, with this is because it is so realistic and the character models, like for all the animals, they're meant to be 100% accurate to real animals or as close as you can possibly get.
And that means, in their movement, not just their faces, it's the way that they move.
But that means that they are limited.
Yeah.
To what a real animal can do. So there's no bugging out of eyes. There's no big grins. There's no flailing of limbs.
There's no like an eyebrow goes
there's
up.
No, there's no DreamWorks face.
Yeah.
And I think that is...
I've seen like people have changed it to be like, what if they did it? What if they made it like...
Uh-huh.
And that's bad too.
Yeah, right.
I think there's so much merit in doing it this way, but I just don't think it works.
No.
For this story. This technology applied to something else.
This technology...
And the artistry behind it. And even because the way Jon Favreau shot it, like he'd shoot it on a virtual stage with like real cameras.
Yeah.
And that's why you get the realistic camera sweeping movements and things that. And the lighting's incredible.
Yeah. This technology applied to maybe you get some humans and they go to Africa and you want them to interact with non-speaking animals and have an adventure with the animals. That could totally work. But the problem with this is because you can't... Because they can't emote properly in a way that a human would, that throws everything out, I think.
I think it changes characters as well. Like Mufasa, for example. There's no life and... I said this all in Primates, but I'm just going to... Whatever I remember, I'm just going to say again.
Good.
Listen to that episode. But he doesn't emote. There's no fun in him. There's no joy in him. You know what he's giving Simba the lesson about? I was only brave because I'm a bloody... Because I have to be, and I was scared that I was going to lose you. He's just stoically looking off.
Yeah.
But they're like buddies. They're rolling around together and they're tussling.
Yeah.
But there is a bit of that, but you don't...
Well,
get the feeling that they even like it, or he likes his son.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Because like, while I was watching this movie, the feeling I got, and it's not for every character, but it's for most of them, it felt like there was like a slow gas leak in the recording booth when they were doing the audio, because everybody's very kind of subdued and
even
confused. Some of them sound quite confused.
Do you think it's because a lot of them aren't voice actors?
No, I don't think that's even it. Because I think a lot of the people in this have done voice acting before. James Earl Jones has the exact same role.
That's like 25 years ago.
Well, I think they said, okay,
it's a gas leak.
You need to dial this back because if you are too emotive, the distance between what you are saying and how the characters look is going to be too jarring. So I think they were like, dial it back to a four. So when the animals just move their mouths just a tiny little bit, it's going to look realistic. But if you're like, whoa-hey, and you're really giving it a 10, the animals are still going to be giving it a four.
Yeah,
and it's
going to
look bizarre. I think the probably the best example is Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen are Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah.
And I think their performances, for me, are probably the best because they got a chance to kind of improv.
And riff and
or at
stuff.
The very least...
They did. No,
the script.
Right.
Okay, yeah, the script was written that way. But like, on the one hand, you've got Seth Rogen, who as Pumbaa is kind of like laconic and kind of laid back a little bit. And I think that really works.
Mm.
It doesn't really work, but it seems to work better.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of a lazy character and the voice acting is kind of lazy. But then you've got Timon, who is really kind of... The voice acting is quite camp and you know, quite loud.
And he's quite hectic.
And theatrical.
Yeah.
But the motion of the face, there's not enough in it.
But you can have him scurry around and emote in his body language, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because I found even like when Simba's dad died and Scar's talking to him and he's like, you blew it, Simba, whatever. Simba, there's nothing on his face.
Yeah. Mm.
Like in the cartoon, you see it and you feel it. But this...
Uh-huh.
Like the moments that like resonated with me were moments that I'm like, because I remembered it from the previous.
Exactly,
movie.
That's who this movie's for. Mm. And that's the thing. Like it's amazing it's amazing the squandered amount of talent, the sheer amount of talent in this movie that is being squandered. Like we got Donald Glover, you got Beyonce.
I think he's better
than
Matthew Broderick.
But is he good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
But is he good? Like,
I don't know.
Like, if you, but that's the thing. Like, if you love, like,
I didn't think Beyonce was particularly good.
I didn't think
John Oliver was very good.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, take any of these characters. If you go, oh my God, I love Donald Glover. I love his acting. I love his comedy. I love his music. I love his writing and his directing or whatever. What does he bring to this?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Because all he's doing is he's just reading the lines from the previous movie verbatim. And he gets, you know, he does, with Beyonce, he does the song. Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
During the day.
Yes. But, like, if you want to spend $20 to see that, you can. I'm not going to stop you. But what you could also do is just listen to it for free on Spotify and then just watch a video of lions frolicking. Because that's the thing. Because, again, yeah, because they don't emote enough.
Yeah.
They're just walking past a stream or whatever.
Yeah.
And the song is going and they're just slightly moving their lips just a little bit.
Well, they're not even singing in that moment.
Yeah.
They're thinking it. So I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, it's a...
But they're not actually... They're thinking it. They're thinking the song together in unison.
Oh, I see.
Which is what the old one did. Yeah. I'm not going to fight you on any of that.
No.
Yeah.
But you can... Again, you could apply that to any of the characters.
Yes.
Like Beyonce. What does Beyonce bring to this besides...
Can we just do spoilers?
I mean, it's the Lion King. Yeah. Right, yeah. What does she bring besides legions of Beyonce fans who are going to see it because Beyonce's in it?
Yeah.
Nothing. Same with John Oliver. Like, he doesn't even get it. It's just lines from the previous movie.
The things that I did enjoy about this is when they went off script from the original one. But not to the... Sometimes they'd say a line and they get to a point and then they'd, like, change the last word. And it would just throw me. Because I know that movie so well and I'm just like, what?
Were you upset?
No, it just... Because I'm in a rhythm of it.
Okay.
And then other times there were bits where they branched off completely and I really liked it. Like, the bit where they do the Lion Sleeps Tonight... And all the animals join in and they're walking in chorus in unison and they're singing. That's a new moment. Nala escaping from Pride Rock or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new moment. It's not in the other movie. She just kind of turns up. I think those things are good. And I said this on Primates. Listen to it. But maybe this technology and would have been better applied to making this a sequel to the original as opposed to the
How would that
remake.
Make it different?
Well, because you could take it new directions.
Oh, of course. Yeah, story-wise.
I think you'd still have all those problems you talked about with the emoting and whatever.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But maybe that would solve some of the narrative, the fact that
it's
just
would.
Not as good retelling.
And that's the thing. And it's interesting for me because, again, we just got Aladdin.
I think we will get a sequel to this, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Terrific. We just got Aladdin, which is... You know, on the face of it, kind of similar. It's just a remake of a previous thing.
Mm.
But at least there was kind of room for more play in that.
Definitely.
You know, we've got, at the very least, you know, we had the two leads who were very charming. And you got Will Smithing it up. Like, it's not Robin Williams, but he gets the chance to woo. Exactly. But in this, you don't have two charming leads. You have generic lion faces. You know?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
I love the musculature on them.
That was good. It was good that's musculature. Incredible. Again, they've done a very good job of replicating real animals in visual effect.
But which lion was who?
Yeah, well, I wondered about that.
Especially with the female ones, because yeah, they're oldest.
I wondered about that because you... Did you take your kid to this one?
I did, yeah.
Could he tell the difference between most of the characters?
Yeah, yeah. Because he knows it, yeah.
I guess that's true. But yeah, I mean, again...
He didn't panic.
Yeah, exactly. But again, like, if it's... You can't really see them emoting. A lot of the time, I'd see, you know, the two cubs arrive on screen, and I'd have to wait till one of them talk before I could figure out who was who.
Yeah, right.
Or again, there's a moment with Nala and the rest of the female lions, and again, Nala comes on screen, and I'm like, okay, which one is it? And then she talks, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. Yeah, exactly.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I thought the monkey was weird. I don't know. There was something. Okay, and again, I talked.
Well,
about
he doesn't have a big red butt anymore.
No. Well, he's not because he's a mixture of primates,
and he's not in heat. He's not in heat anymore.
Well, that's true. But I thought they did because they're going for realism here, and a good example of that is when Simba is pinned on the end of the rock by Scar.
Uh-huh.
And in the old one, when he finds out that Scar killed his father, he just leaps up.
Yes.
He kind of snaps and leaps. Uh-huh. But in this one, he bites Scar on the face
yeah.
and is dragged. And I'm like, that's, well, he's a real lion. So he'd have to, just leap. But Rafiki is, he doesn't have his stick. And I'm like, well, he doesn't have his stick because he's not really a magic mandrill or whatever he is.
Uh-huh.
Mandrake. He's not a mandrake.
He's not Mandrake the Magician.
Yeah.
From the Defenders of the Earth.
With his rattly stick.
Did he put it in? I don't know because I'm not there.
Will I put it in later?
Maybe you will. Maybe you won't.
Will I put it in multiple times?
Oh my god.
And then there's a moment where he gets his stick, right? He pulls, because I'm like, oh, he doesn't have his stick, fine. So he pulls out his stick from his tree and he's like, oh, hello old friend. But that stick is just for hitting things. Yes. The only relevant...
It's his beating stick.
Because he doesn't know kung fu like the other one. I don't expect him to, but he just... That's a stick that he has previously used to fight with. Because the only relevance of that stick is, as an audience member, is I know that stick from the previous movie.
Because
if you hadn't seen it, you'd be like, hello, old friend. And you'd be like, so he has a stick that he is very fond of and he likes it because he uses it to crush the skulls of his enemies.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's relatable. You know?
Sure.
You get it. Anyway, I didn't think it was a very good movie.
Oh, not Idris Elba.
Chiwetel Ejiofor?
It was really good, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
I thought it was good.
Mm.
But again, like they went away from like the camp Scar kind of villain, which I guess you have to do in 2019, because that's a Disney trope. We talked about this in the other one.
Yeah.
And Be Prepared was not good, was it?
Which one's that again?
The one where he's like,
oh, I'm the king of the everything.
Ready and
yeah, no, that was bad.
There was lava.
But there was no lava.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's the same with like, I just can't wait to be king. Because that it snaps into this Technicolor world with African patterns.
Right.
But here it's just like, it's running next to a pond or whatever.
Exactly.
And again, it looks incredible. I remember seeing that mouse at the start and it's climbing on the grass stalk and it's waving in the wind and skimming across the water. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, my brain cannot tell.
As a tech, demo, this Whoa. This is amazing. Yeah. Like if somebody on the internet was like, I've been messing around with visual effects and here's the introduction to the Lion King, except it's in full CG, you'd be like, that's incredible. But they haven't done anything with it.
Yeah.
Imagine if John Favreau, and again, it's John Favreau as well, who I like.
He's a good director.
Yeah. Imagine if John Favreau went, hey, I've got an idea for a script and it's going to have a movie and it's going to have Donald Glover and Beyonce and John Oliver and Eric Andre and Keegan-Michael Key and bloody Chiwetel Ejiofor and Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner. And it's just all these people hanging out and having an adventure. And Disney would be like, nah. Can you make it a sequel or a remake or a CGI extravaganza? Oh, okay, cool. All right, we'll do The Lion King then.
Yeah, but he did go, he went to them because I watched the Vanity Fair breaking down a scene and he talks about the opening scene.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of thought has gone into it. And it looks
spectacular. We wanted to make it look as much as the original as possible. And we did.
But real.
Yeah.
And he talks about like how lighting plays a big role in it and how backlighting animals make them realistic because your brain accepts it more. And and that is all true because it all looks realistic. He's obviously thought about it because he talks about how when I did The Jungle Book, I wrote down like the things that I remembered from it because it's you want to hit the key elements. And it was like six things.
Uh-huh.
I assume like the snake and the song and the orangutan or whatever. I don't know. It's not a good movie.
Uh-huh.
But people don't care if you change the Jungle Book. I think same with like Cinderella. I think Cinderella's a good, really good remake. But with this, he's like, I went back and I thought about what I remembered. And the list was like pages long. Yeah, because so you end up mostly replicating it,
yeah,
and changing not enough to make it different. Mm. And the things that you do change, it's often weird.
Yeah,
yeah.
I thought this was depressing.
Like
this
the
movie.
Colors, the themes.
No, just the concept of it.
Yeah,
you know what the movie that came to mind as I was watching this movie. I thought of it more than once, and this isn't anything to do with the movie itself. Mm. But do you remember, have we ever talked about the movie Cube on this show?
I've never seen it. I know what it
okay,
is.
Okay, yeah. So for anybody who hasn't seen it, there's a group of people wake up. It's a science fiction horror movie. This group of people wake up in this sort of deadly maze inside this big cube-like structure, and they have to get out.
Like a cube.
Yeah, like a cube. And they have to find their way out before they all die. And basically, one of the plot threads in this movie is, why is there this cube?
Yeah.
Why are they all trapped in the cube? And it's not because there's some crazed supervillain or there's like aliens have abducted them and they're experimenting on them or whatever. It's just that bureaucracy somewhere had a budget and they just made the cube. And then they just had the cube, so they just did stuff with the cube. And that's what this movie reminds... Like that's... Every watching this movie, I just kept thinking of that. Because what this is somebody thought of this idea... And they went, well, we're remaking all of them. We may as well remake this one.
Yeah.
We're going to put, like, it's just a lot. This whole movie, even though it's like the most mind-bending visual effects and this A-list cast
maybe
and all this
ever.
Marketing. Yeah, maybe ever. It's just a line in like their balance sheet.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if we put in $250 million, we'll get $1 billion back. Yeah. So we'll just make it.
Yeah.
And I understand
that.
That's all movies. But at least, yes. Again, at least with Aladdin, they could tweak it a little bit. At least with, you know...
If you'd have told me I would have liked Aladdin more than this.
Yeah, right.
By a lot.
Yes, right.
I would have told you. I would have taken my old stick that I hit people with. I would have brought it out of retirement. Hello, old friend, I'd say.
Oh, no.
And I would be crushing skulls.
But I don't know. Is this the future of this movie? Are they all going to be like this?
I think this will be a lesson. Yeah. I think it's still going to do well.
Oh, that's the thing. Maybe it's not going to be a lesson. If it makes $1 billion...
No, I think... This only gets you so far, I think.
Yeah.
I think you need to. And you know what? You do The Lion King, there's not a lot of other ones you can update and people will get upset.
Oh, I see, right.
Yeah, I think Mulan looks different enough and I think Mulan could be better, or at least on par.
At least people can emote in Mulan.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, at least...
That's what I'm saying.
I guess for the most part that all the rest of the remakes are... Humans?
You've got Bambi, you could do Brother Bear, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's
but
true.
But no,
yeah.
no one wants a no. Brother Bear.
Yeah,
remake.
Right. But yeah, like...
It's the Lion King, but a man turns into a bear.
At least Mulan and the Little Mermaid could emote, you know?
Oh yeah, Little Mermaid, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
I'm not really a fan. I think, you know what I think could be really good? I think Treasure Planet could be incredible.
Yeah, right. Do you think they'll get that far?
No, because Treasure Planet bombed hard.
Yeah, right.
And there's that Atlantis movie with Michael J. Fox, which has a similar kind of aesthetic, which maybe could work. But I don't know. I think we're going to be getting sequels, though. I think they'll do Aladdin 2. I think they'll do Lion King 2.
Wow.
Yeah. Simba's Pride.
Do you think it'll be Simba's Pride, or do you think it'll be something else?
I think they'll change the narrative. I think.
Okay, right. Yeah. Gotcha.
But wouldn't you like to see a world where Simba's daughter rules or whatever they make it?
No.
But she can smile.
No. Oh. So, oh, yeah.
Because, you know...
Mm.
You should smile more, Mason.
Oh, no.
It's the worst movie ever.
Yeah, it's the worst movie ever. Yeah.
Don't say it, I would say.
Do you think, like little kids, would you, if there's a parent out there with little kids, would you get them to watch the original or the
original, definitely.
Okay,
it's also
right.
shorter by half an hour.
Where did the extra half an hour come from?
That's a good question, Mason.
Astounding.
They cut out a song and they put in a song, so what happened? I didn't mind the jungle stuff, like the fun they were having in the jungle. Because that was the most different, I
feel. Was anyone having fun in the jungle?
Yeah, because it's a nice place and they're eating grubs and whatever.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
And they're talking about the circle of life and it's like more of a line. I'm like, it is a fucking line. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean, yeah.
It's great in the circle of life if you're the lion, but
anything
else.
Yeah, it's always been maybe that's another thing that I disliked about it. It's like, well, don't we eat the antelope? Yeah, but when we die of natural causes in a couple of decades... We turn into grass and they eat the grass. It's not the same.
Yeah.
We're literally killing their family members. It's not a circle.
And then they turn up when a new one of us is born.
Yeah.
And bow.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
I don't, this Lion Society, it's...
It's no good is all I'm saying.
Someone's got to bring it down from the inside.
Yeah.
Maybe a poacher, but with the lion skin vest.
Craven the Hunter.
Craven the Hunter.
Okay, yeah.
He gets
I would watch that. I would watch Lion King 2, Simba's Pride / Craven the Hunter. 100%.
Yeah. It's a good movie, I think.
No, disagree.
It's a shame. I don't know what, but I don't have the answers to make it better.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like
I'm not like, well, if you had done it this way, I would have. I don't know.
Because if you tweak the character models to make them more expressive, I think you have to tweak the entire world as well.
Yes.
You'd have to tweak everything, like the landscape and the sky and the trees and the ground, to make them slightly more cartoonish so they don't look like monsters.
Yeah.
Because if it was regular world and you make their faces expressive, they're just horrible. They're lion creature monsters. So you have to tweak the whole world, and that throws everything
and
out.
And that's what it is in the cartoon, because they all don't emote. Like the gazelle and the wildebeest don't have those faces. Yeah. But because it's animated, you don't think about it.
That's true.
Like, why can't that wildebeest smile?
Yeah. But then if you've got...
She'd be much prettier if she smiled more.
Exactly. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. That's true.
Yeah. I don't know, man. What a world.
What a world. Which one's next? Mermaid. Mulan.
No. Well, there's Lady and the Tramp on Disney Plus. Okay, first, right. But I don't think they're going to be doing that one, are we?
Is that a Black Widow Hawkeye situation, though?
In terms of like...
I don't know, just team them up, have them fight crime or whatever.
I think it's just the movie Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, I don't want that.
Have you seen it? Spaghetti and Meatballs.
I've seen the Spaghetti and Meatballs.
Spaghetti and Meatballs,
mate. Yeah, I've seen Spaghetti and Meatballs, yeah.
Okay. You know what it's time for?
It just feels like Lady and the Tramp nowadays would be like a Falcon Winter Soldier kind of team up, you know?
It's Tessa Thompson and Justin Theroux as Lady / Tramp.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Doesn't mean anything though, does it?
It absolutely doesn't, especially after this bloody disaster. Who cares? I don't care if they both went to Juilliard.
Did they both go to Juilliard?
I don't know.
Right in, yes or no.
Be a weird coincidence if they both did.
Yeah, but yes or no.
Especially if writer Justin Theroux went to Juilliard.
Yes or
acting.
No.
Yes or no.
For did both of them.
Yeah.
Two yeses. Two no's, a yes and a no, or a no and a yes.
Yeah, thank you, yes.
Yeah. You know what it's time for?
Oh, what we read and what we're going to read?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today? I've got two things that I haven't done yet, but I will be doing.
I'm ready.
The Boys will be well and truly out by the time this is.
Oh, okay, cool.
I don't. Are they dropping the whole season or are they doing week to week?
No idea.
Can't remember. Anyway, super excited for that.
Same, yeah.
Really keen. Mm-hmm. I hope it's great.
Yes.
Do you hope it's great?
I also hope it's
great. Both of us hope it's great.
Yeah.
And we love content. We love putting it out there. We love making things happen. We're movers, we're shakers.
What is happening?
Well,
is your stroke coming back?
I don't
back?
Have anything to
don't
say
because
I
say,
haven't
right.
seen it. Uh-huh. I also downloaded Curse of the White Knight, which is a sequel to Batman White Knight. Is that called? Where the Joker turns good.
Yeah,
he's
right.
He's like, Batman sucks and I'm going to fix Gotham.
Yeah, right.
And that comic's good. So okay. I'm looking forward to reading the follow-up.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you, Mason?
Can you tell us anything about the follow-up without spoiling the original?
I haven't started it at all. Oh, yeah, sure. It follows on.
Whoa.
Imagine a direct
Well, thanks
sequel.
For the spoiler.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. I watched The Simple Favor, which is the most recent Paul Feig movie.
It's
what
good.
Do you think of it? I like it.
It kind of goes a bit off chops at the end.
I think the because it's sort of meant to be, I guess, a throwback to sort of 1950s, 1960s kind of film noir mystery kind of, you know.
And what great outfits.
Exactly, like your Strangers on a Train kind of like intrigue kind of situation. And I think the plot is maybe is it too smart for its own good, or is it kind
maybe,
of like, or is it not as well thought through as it could have been? I think maybe
it's both, Mason.
Yeah, but it's certainly stylish and fun, and it's Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively.
That's right, they're both really good.
Yeah, it was a good bloody movie. I'd say worth a watch.
What would you give it out of 150,000 euro?
120,000 euro.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good, right?
You got some change there.
Yeah, that's right.
Get yourself an Audi, maybe.
Maybe I'll buy an Audi.
One of the low-end ones.
Yeah, low-end Audi.
Fiat.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh. Maybe a Fiat Punto.
Really?
Maybe.
It's bold. I respect it.
Thank you.
Letters?
Yeah, let's do some letters. The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. Now they're here right now, we're going to do letters.
Ha.
You have the wild eyes of a man who's recording a podcast at 12:45 in the evening.
Yes, and I have to get this edited and the caravan and garbage and get them sent out before I leave.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is, Mason. It is. It's more time consuming because you got to. It's the listening through.
That's true. Yeah.
And the caravan and garbage, I edit twice. I mean, Ben does the actual the video edit. Uh-huh. And he does an excellent job. But you listen through it, and I do the extended cut. And uh-huh. I chip just a little bit out of it, and then I take like maybe 8 minutes out of it.
You take the swears out, and then in the second edit, you put more swears in.
More swears in, yeah.
More ruder swears.
I bring you back in studio.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, if you want to reach the show, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter.
Yes.
Also, WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com if you want to send over a letter to myself or Nick Mason, who is the one delving deep. What's he finding today? Who knows? Oh, no, it's nothing.
This is from Aaron. This is from Aaron. It says, I did mushrooms and listened to your podcast.
It's probably not a good idea.
Well. hi, guys. Long story short, I ate some psilocybin mushrooms and listened to you guys with lo-fi music on in the background. So he's double audioing. That's pretty impressive.
That's not bad at all.
All in all, turned out to be a good time. Would recommend.
So we should do it?
Listening to our own podcast? Well, that sounds like the kind of thing I would do.
I think it would break my mind.
Yeah. Only do psychedelics in a safe environment. Okay.
That's true.
Well, this podcast environment's very safe.
That's right. Got these padded walls and all.
Padded walls, so maybe. Yeah. Any chance I can be official druid of the podcast? Absolutely, you may.
Do you have a big beard and a staff and a pointed hat?
If you have all those, then yes, you can.
But
yes.
If he doesn't?
He still can.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean,
unless somebody else wants to do it and has those things.
Oh, then they're the druid. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Well, people listen in all times, for all reasons, in all states of mind, don't they?
If this makes it on the show, tell my mate Chris and Toby hi. I won't.
Yeah.
Tell him yourself.
Yeah, you know him. We don't know him.
We don't know him. We don't know him.
It's from Mitch on Twitter, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. As Jane Foster is coming back for 4-4. He put Thor, but the O was a 4.
Nice.
I don't even know how you say that. do you think we'll see her ex Donald Blake finally show up? I think Taika Waititi could do some funny stuff with him.
Good question, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, see, that's for
exists in universe.
For anybody who doesn't know, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Thor is just Thor.
Yes.
And in the comic books, currently, he's Thor is just Thor.
Yes.
But in his original appearance, he was a doctor named Donald Blake. Or he was Thor, and then his Father Odin trapped him in the body of a man called Donald Blake, who had like a bung leg, and then he found Mjolnir.
Yes.
And then he became Thor.
But then it turns out that Donald Blake was also always Thor, but then they just got rid of Donald Blake. Is that how it works?
Oh, it's so well. Okay, so basically, in the original comic books, there's just a guy called Donald Blake. He finds a stick, he bangs the stick, and becomes Thor.
Frustrated.
Yeah. And then he can switch back between Thor and himself, and he's always like I'm on Donald Blake, but now I'm Thor. Isn't this crazy kind of thing? And then over the years, he started becoming more and more Thor.
Yeah.
And then he discovers that actually he was always Thor, but Odin sent him back to Earth in the body of Donald Blake so that he would learn humility. But then, and then he always became Thor. But then it turned out that Donald Blake was a real dude who had been trapped in a cave for like 10 years because Odin swapped him out.
That's a terrible thing.
I know. I mean, that probably won't happen in this. So
should send Odin to Earth.
Yeah, right?
He should be learning lessons.
For being a rude dude.
Trapping people in
caves.
I
know. But anyway, in the movie.
What did Donald Blake do? A man with a limp.
Well, he got that limp. That's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, but like trap him in a cave.
Yeah.
What did he eat? Bats?
Oh, he was like in suspended animation.
Oh, it's one of those situations.
And he ate bats. Yeah. But anyway, in the movies, there's just a sly reference to that because Natalie Portman's ex-boyfriend is Donald Blake. Here's what I think they should do.
And they use the alias for Thor, don't they?
Yes, they do, I think they should just get Chris Hemsworth as Donald Blake as well. I think that'd be funny.
Oh, don't you think people would...
I mean, it'd be
weird. Do you CGI him slightly differently?
I don't know.
Prosthetics or something?
Or they could get the guy who is if you watch The Good Place, the guy who's the fake Hemsworth brother, they should get him.
Oh, yeah, he's a
I think that'd be funny. That would be good. Because I guess it would be weird if Jane Foster's boyfriend looked exactly like Thor and nobody ever mentioned it.
Mm.
That would be weird, I guess.
That would be weird, yeah.
Who else could you get as Donald Blake?
Well, I thought they were going to do the Chris O'Dowd character from Thor the Dark World. Right? I think he would have been a good Donald Blake.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I think it'd be...
Then you get Richard Ayoade.
Is he in any Marvel movies?
I don't think he is.
He might be a voice and we don't know.
Oh, let's have him as Donald Blake.
Yeah.
That'd be really good.
He's very funny.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what? Just get the entire cast of Darth Marenghi's Darth
Vader. Swapping out as Donald Blake. Yeah. They could just keep wearing the lab coats.
That's great. And no one would notice.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you buddy go.
That's right.
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
Uh-huh.
Do you think the next phase, Marvel phase, we're going to get Marvel questions forever now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Obviously. will be as successful / more successful as each phase before. I think this one has the advantage of coming off the back of the biggest movie of all time.
Yes.
and the biggest franchise of all time.
Yeah.
So I think initial success is guaranteed, obviously.
Yeah.
But what do you think going from there?
I think that we should not set our sights too high.
Mm.
I think there's going to be some people, some big fans of the MCU who are going to be like, we're going to build up to the next end game. Like maybe at the end, and maybe at the end of phase five or what have you, there's going to be the next end game style movie.
I think longer.
And it's going to be the best. It's going to be the big. It's going to be bigger than Endgame. Don't bet on that. That is stressful.
It will be.
Just as somebody who buys a ticket to each of these movies, that's too much. Yeah. That's too much pressure.
But I think if they are doing a big universe bending event or whatever, it will take another from 10, 11 years. We're not finished saying it. We probably won't even know what it is.
No, that's true.
For a couple of phases. I'm sure there'll be hints of it.
Well,
is it Galactus? Yeah. Is it like, I don't.
A lot of people have, you know, based on the movies that we've got out in that slate that was released last week, some people are predicting Annihilation just because there's so many cosmic events in there.
That makes sense.
And, you know.
So Annihilus.
Yes.
You're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you can integrate the Fantastic Four and you can bring in Galactus and the Silver Surfer and blah, blah, blah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So more cosmic-y? Last one was cosmic.
Very cosmic-y, right?
Can't we just have everyone run at each other at an airport again?
I think maybe in the next one it should just be the biggest bank heist.
The next
20 movies are just building up to a big bank heist.
How do you top it? I think the only way you can top it is, I think you can do a big event, but you just have to wait.
Yeah.
I think you just have to go, you know what, we're not going to have the biggest movie of all time for at least 10 years.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to aim for it. We're going to build slowly back up to it.
And then, because James Cameron's going to release those Avatar sequels, we'll have something to aspire to. Because that's going to break the record again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
It's just going to smash through that end game.
I mean, we laugh, we jest. We joke, we jive.
Yes.
It's possible.
Is it?
Well, if it's released with some kind of, it's released a good time of year, like it'll have a clear run at Christmas.
Yeah.
It brings in a new form of 3D technology again, which I think it is doing, which you pay more to see, and it stays in cinemas for like 5 months. Then yeah, it's possible.
Sure. And James Cameron just buys all the tickets himself.
Well, yeah, yes, absolutely. But I don't think it will, but I'm saying it's not impossible.
Sure. What do you think the absolute maximum limit is of a movie in a Hollywood movie, like overall box office? What's the biggest of all time is Endgame now? So what is that? How many billion? Is that like $3 billion?
It's a bit under three, yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
What do you think the effective maximum of the world is? Like
I guess it depends on population and ticket prices, doesn't
that's
it?
That's true,
There's only so many.
We can calculate. Let's knock this out.
Mason, I don't have enough fingers.
No, I don't know.
I'll take my shoes off. I can do it with toes. I can do this. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's always just going to keep going up, isn't it?
That's true.
So I guess there is no roof on it, unless we're all murdered in a nuclear destruction or, you know, the earthquakes kill us all and environment stuff. You know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean.
A 2012 situation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're saying if they release 2012 again into theaters, it's going to crack that 5 billion mark.
That movie should die in a ditch.
Brutal.
What do you think of that?
That's pretty good. That's good. Here's an email from Sam Thomas.
Okay, Sam, what do you got?
This is from a couple of weeks ago, actually, but I only just remembered it now. It says, re Dexter Fletcher. Can confirm I saw Dexter Fletcher in the street and he had a plastic bag in his hand. Whether or not he plans to reuse it, I couldn't tell.
Wow.
Cheers, Sam.
That's interesting.
It's interesting, right?
Because listeners remember, I saw Dexter Fletcher at a market about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe 11.
And you couldn't remember if he had a regular bag or a reusable bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, turns out.
I mean, sometimes I'll have a reusable bag or a plastic bag, though. I'm not always using them reusable. Sometimes I forget, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
So if someone else could, that's good information.
It's good information,
intel,
yeah.
If people could keep us posted.
We need to triangulate the Dexter Fletcher bag situation. I think we need a few data points.
We need someone to put together this spreadsheet, too.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then we can determine for good or ill what his system is going with, you know? Because if we get 100 Dexter Fletcher sightings, and it's 99 reusable bag, one plastic bag.
It's okay.
That's good stuff. But if it's 100 plastic bags, but if it's the same
plastic. Same one.
Yeah, you should also maybe check the logo on the plastic bag.
What is it?
Make sure if it's the same one every time.
Yeah.
But again, that doesn't prove anything because maybe he gets a new plastic bag from the same supermarket every time he goes there.
Yeah.
So I think maybe if you see him on the street, anytime you see him with a plastic bag, maybe accost him on the street and say, Dexter Fletcher.
Where'd you get that?
Where'd you get that? Or maybe like check it for like holes and stuff.
I think by a look you could tell whether it was an old one or not. The crinkled nature.
Yeah, the crinkled nature. Because he put it in his pocket. Yeah, exactly.
If you work at his local supermarket,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Or you could perhaps get a job there as a cashier.
Yes, absolutely.
Obviously build your schedule around his when he shops.
Yes, exactly.
And then kind of go from there.
Yeah, that'd be actually really good. Yeah.
I'm not joking. I want to know.
Or break into his house and see if he's got like a, like, you know, that drawer of plastic bags, you know?
Yeah, everyone's got one.
Full drawer of plastic bags.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, they're bloody hen's teeth now, those bags in Australia, though, mate. That's right. They're bloody getting rid of them all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bit shorter this week, Mason, but that's the show.
Oh, that's the show.
Is that okay with you?
It's okay with me, yeah.
Okay, then. Uh-huh. Do you want to take us home, Country Road?
Thank you, everybody, for listening and subscribing and telling a friend, giving us a nice review, going on our insane Dexter Fletcher hunting parties. That's absolutely terrific. We really do appreciate it.
We do. We've got a review right here on iTunes, but you can do it right on your app. You can give it a 5 stars if you so desire. And you could write a nice review. This one says, James, bring out the bins, rating 5 stars. It's by Ern Kid or Ernie Kid. Hey, James, I know you're reading this. Don't forget to put the bins out, otherwise Claire will get mad. Claire won't get mad.
She'll get even.
Yes. She is actually very accommodating.
She'll dump the bins on you while you're asleep.
She's very accommodating. She's like,
you'll be in bed, you'll be like, and you'll like put your hand on the like on the bed. Nope, she won't be there. And you'll be like, oh, and you'll like look up and she'll have a bin on you. She just dumped a bin on you.
You're going to say, oh, this is a pile of rubbish.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
That she just poured.
Yeah. She's tied it together with ropes.
Yeah. So I appreciate the good reviews. That really helps.
Yeah, for sure.
What else, Mason?
If you want to get in contact with us, you can find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook, Gmail, Twitter, Bandcamp. You can go to planetbroadcasting.com. Sign up to our great newsletter from the great Rob Collings.
Yes.
He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. He's also at Raw Collings. Mm-hmm, I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter. You're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. I'm also Nick Maso, MASEAU on Instagram. Follow me there.
Follow him there.
Yeah.
Follow me there too.
Got some photos from the live show up there. Oh, yeah. Pretty good. Got some photos of the little Lego figurines.
Oh, yeah.
I
got to put a new one up of the one that you just brought over.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, right?
So who is that from again? Sorry.
That's from Lewis, who came to the live show and gave us some Lego figurines. He's a Lego master, I believe.
A master,
Lego master.
Mm-hmm. That's very exciting.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Next week, Hobbs and Shaw, if you want to see it.
Absolutely. If you want to support the show, though, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. If you want to chuck in a buck, we'd very much appreciate that.
We really would.
You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description.
Yes.
If you'd like to purchase the original Lion King on DVD, but not pre-order the new version because it's not very good. I mean, look, I've been wrong in the past, and I still don't think the original's very good, but it's better than the new one.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I can't believe you've been turned around on The Lion King.
I haven't, and I shan't be. I shan't. Absolutely not. Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. We have t-shirts on tpublic.com.
All the jingles and jangles.
All the jingles and what? Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. On the ones and twos. Mm. That's the whole show, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
What are we doing again next week?
Hobbs and Shaw.
Yes!
Yeah, looking forward to it a lot.
Yes.
They have cars
at the premiere. I'm going to crash one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bye, everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.